This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Dean Martin there for you. That's amore. That was one of his early hits. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is, I think, President's Day today, Monday, February the 21st. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Doug Collins, former Republican congressman from the state of Georgia. He was a former ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, and we're going to talk to him on the Durham investigation. You know, the investigation into the Trump-Russia scandal and the Hillary Clinton involvement and all that kind of thing. So stay tuned for that. And a homelessness czar. Yeah, a homelessness czar. That is what the Biden administration has come up with. They've created one. Now, just how effective will that be? We are going to ask the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show about all of that. And how about a college professor that sends white students to the back of the line when it comes to class participation in her sociology course? She does. She says it's in the syllabus. Non-white people first. We're going to take a look in another edition of Campus Quackery. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. You know, Consumer Reports comes out every year with the best cars. We've got Consumer Reports top 10 best car brands. The best car brands. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I'm not kidding you. You will never be more pleased than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located, Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call first, please. Get an appointment time, 727-733-3773. Again, 733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. All right. So now that the Olympics is over, it looks like Putin is making his move. It looks like we're about to get into another war. I say we, the world, with Vladimir Putin and the Ukraine. Biden, our president, and Vladimir Putin have agreed to the principle of meeting for a summit. But that will only take place, according to Biden, if Russia does not invade the Ukraine. First of all, I don't think Putin gives a rat's patoo about whether or not he's going to meet with Biden. How effective will Biden be? He can't even talk himself into anything. But that's what apparently is going on there. In the meantime, this is kind of a scary situation. Apparently, Russia has compiled a list of Ukrainians, listen to this, to be killed or sent into camps once they get into the Ukraine. If that is true, do you not see how treacherous this guy Vladimir Putin really is? How treacherous he is? You know, being nice to people like Vladimir Putin gets you nowhere. Turning the other cheek to Vladimir Putin gets you nowhere. All he'll do is hit you on the other cheek. And that's what he's doing now. So we warn him, oh, if you do this, we'll do that. Well, do this first before Putin does that. Say, you got 150,000 troops on the Ukrainian border? We're pulling the plug on your oil pipeline into Germany right now. We're going into the banking system and we're going to stop your floating of currency through the banking system around the world. Do it right now. Why wait? Too late when he's already in there killing people. He won't understand anything but doing something first to him. We're going to wait until all kinds of people, innocent people, are killed and then do something? Is that what we're all about now? Now, the other line of thought in all of this is let Europe take care of it. We've done it long enough. They've become dependent on us to the point that they can't do anything on their own. Let Europe take care of it. Well, that's fine, except we agreed to be a part of NATO. And when they need us the most, do we pull out of that and say, all right, bye-bye, you take care of it. You take care, it's your problem. We're across the Atlantic Ocean. Why should we be involved? So you can't do that either, you see? So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And what will happen if this thing really does start? And I think that now that the Olympics are over with, excuse me, Ed, I think that now that the Olympics are over with, he's going to go. Go ahead, Ed.
Those things that you listed, shutting off the oil, freezing the bank accounts, if somebody did that to this country, wouldn't that be considered an act of war?
Yeah, but we're not invading another country.
I understand that, but he hasn't invaded anybody yet.
He's amassed 150,000, maybe 175.
Well,
okay, wait.
First of all, I got to say,
he already is threatening to invade.
So they say.
No, he's amassed about 160,000 troops on the Ukrainian border. He's amassed tanks. He's got the planes, everything is set to go across. You think he's doing this? If it walks and quacks and looks like a duck, it's a duck. He's going to invade. Okay? He's going to invade the country and kill people, innocent people. Now, what do you want to do about it? What are you going to do? Just sit there and go, well, I hope he'll not invade? That's not going to get us anywhere.
He's planning on invading
another country.
We've never been a nation of strike first, anyway.
We're not striking first.
Well,
He's striking first. He's amassing. He's getting ready to strike. Now, either you let him strike or you stop him from striking. Which do you think we should do? Let him strike and then stop him from striking?
What if he's bluffing?
Stop him from bluffing and striking. You stop him. He doesn't understand anything but a bully like him. That's what he understands. Let's be honest. He doesn't understand a nice guy. He looks down on, he's cynical about being nice to him. He's a thug. What do you do to a bully? Say, please stop. You know, the schoolyard bully. Please stop doing that to me. Please stop doing that to that lady or that kid. Please? You think they're going to listen to you? No. Anyway.
Is he still riding around on horseback with his shirt off? Do you remember when he did that?
I also remember when they let him score goals on a hockey ice rink. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But
they let him get on the rink. These are professional Russian skaters. And he was playing on one of the teams. And every time he got the puck, it was the funniest thing. Everybody stopped. And here he was. He thinks... They want to make him think that they think that he's a decent hockey player.
Well, you have to. Otherwise, you wind up scraping ice off some runway.
I would have boarded him. All right. Anyway, enough said. Let's take our break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention. We'll turn our attention with Doug Collins to the Durham investigation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dancing, dancing, dancing.
She's a dancing machine.
Oh, baby. Move it, baby.
Yes, we are back on President's Day, Monday, February the 21st. Thank you so very much for being with us. The Justice Department Special Counsel, John Durham, is rejecting allegations that he has sought to politicize the prosecution of a Washington lawyer charged as part of his investigation into the Trump-Russia probe. This comes as a tort in a court document, which came Thursday, as the latest in a series of back-and-forth legal filings that are going on right now in this whole thing. It's getting a little bit complicated, and we are delighted to have Doug Collins joining us. He is a former Georgia Republican congressman. And he was the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, very involved with the Durham investigation. Doug, thank you very much for being with us. Are you there, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'm here.
I'm sorry.
I'm hearing you right along. We're doing good. No, it's great.
Nice. Not at all. I'm sorry. Well, for some reason, we weren't hearing it, but now we are loud and clear. Thanks for being with us, Doug. And this is such an interesting thing, and it's the kind of thing the mainstream media, of course, wants to suppress. They do not want to talk about this. After how many years did we have to listen to Democrats talking about this Trump-Russia conspiracy? So you were on the Judiciary Committee, and here's John Durham. And for a long time, we were going, where's John Durham? What's going on with that doggone investigation? We haven't heard a word from John. Has he fallen, you know? And now he's starting to make his move. I just want you to, if you would, first of all, Doug, give us a little overview on how Durham is doing so far in this investigation.
Well, an overview of what Durham is doing is difficult because this has been one more of the closed process that we've seen. Again, I think the one thing that I was always fairly amazed at was the Mueller investigation, although I disagree completely, should have never happened and it was a joke, was very tight-lipped in what they were doing. Well, Durham makes them look like they were chatty. And for me, it went on too long in many ways. I think there's a lot of stuff that could have been discovered and gone quickly. So I think you're coming out now. I have two views of this new development. Number one is they are getting ready to try and move on what I would consider bigger players or bigger events in this process, which means that they're going to say, hey, look, we know this was happening. We know others were involved. And we're going to just sort of lay this out here with Sussman. So either Sussman says, okay, I'm going to be more cooperative and we'll work on this because I'm the toast. Or it is laying it out there. They're going to do Sussman anyway and laying it for the next batch to come, which this is important for people to know. This is about we're in 2022 right now. In about 2 months, this will be 6 years old at least. Because it starts, again, and it's shockingly enough, with Hillary Clinton emails. This was a cover-up, started with Hillary Clinton emails, that then went to Trump Russia. And you ask, when will they stop talking about it? They don't to this day. Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, others have talked about the Trump Russia hoax as late as, you know, the last few weeks. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you're right. And 6 years, like you say, it's just an ongoing. So it begs the question, are we going to get anywhere with this? I'm listening to Michael Sussman and his lawyer, and they're questioning the whole investigation to begin with. So he's certainly not in any position to be, chatting away at this point and saying, look, I'll talk. You know, just don't send me to jail. You know, he's nowhere near that right now, right?
No, he's not. And I think that may be part of why you saw such an interesting file. Look, I look at it this way. From a legal standpoint, I look at it from my perspective as a lawyer. I'm saying, okay, why would he go ahead and put all of this in what should be a relatively, and I say this in terms of just, you know, efficiency, a very legal, easy case. I mean, he either lied or he didn't lie. They either have him on proof that he lied or he didn't lie. And so they've got to prove it. But to add in this other gives me the thought that he is laying it out in a little bit bigger form to say, hey, we need to move on to some other issues. Here's where we're headed. And if you don't think that we're still here, you're sadly mistaken. But I'm also going to be a realist here. I've watched the DOJ for the last 10 years of my life cover for itself. And unfortunately, as much as I would like to think John Durham, I respect John Durham, I think he's doing the work, I'm just not sure at the end of the day, for those of us who have lived this, who breathed it, who know the truth and know what was going on, we're not going to see the satisfaction that we want. And I'm getting more and more concerned about that. Now, I hope I say that so he'll surprise me. But I'm getting more and more concerned that it's not.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are worried about it. It's going along at a snail's pace. And you got this little goldfish that nobody knew until this thing came up.
Yeah.
And it is, here's another thing, Doug. It is almost impossible to explain to the common folk person, you know, in a story about how important the overall actions of the, let's say, Hillary Clinton campaign, how corrupt and scary what they did really was. Because we're in the minutiae here, you know, about this thing. And most people aren't going to step back and go, yeah, but here's what's going on, you know. We've got basically one party spying on another party, and not only spying on them, trying to lie about some sort of a conspiracy with the state of Russia. I mean, if you think about it, that's pretty Machiavellian.
Well, it is. Well, Except I want to just clarify one thing for the listener here. It's not party against party. This is what you've hit it perfectly, but I'm going to take it a step further. This was not a party against a party. This was a government that was using political information gained by a political campaign. We go back to Perkins Coie. We go back to the Fusion GPS. We go back to the dossier. We go back to in my mind, perjury that Comey committed three times, Rothenstein one time, when they signed documents saying to the FISA court, asking for these warrants on Carter Page, using the dossier, which they said was verified. It was not. They've admitted it's not. I don't understand how Comey does not have a perjury charge on his and conviction on his record right now. So this is where it's really difficult to go back and say that for people out there, if you just want, for the average person, and I'm from the South, so if the average person sitting at the Waffle House, why they should be concerned about this? Is because the government can do it to if they have a means or a want to, they can do it to anybody. If they can do it to a billionaire running for president, who then became president and do it while he's still president, shit, you ain't got a prayer.
Yeah, you're right about that. We're talking with Doug Collins, former Georgia Republican in Congress, also a ranking member at the time of the Judiciary Committee, very involved with the Durham investigation. You know, the media, because Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, Schiff, and all of those people know that the mainstream media is indeed not going to look into the truth and is generally going to cover for them. Look at the fact that, can you imagine if Donald Trump put up a server in his basement and started taking all of the classified documents that were coming into the White House and transferring all of that information into a private server in his Mar-a-Lago home or something in the basement. Can you imagine how the mainstream media would have gone after him? Hillary Clinton does it. They're covering for her. They're running tackle for her. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's on the comeback tour. To show you, I mean, we want to talk party for a second. To show you how desperate the Democratic Party is in New York, they actually have Hillary Clinton being a keynote speaker. I mean, that should tell you all you need to know right there about how badly off, you know, desperate they are. But this is, you know, it sets up a problem out there that's a little bit deeper, not just that they can, you know, do this to somebody. It is setting up what people believe is a two-tier system of justice in our country. And I've also done a lot of work with criminal justice reform and everything. And when you go out there and they say, well, Hillary did it and didn't, you know, nothing happened to her, when a slick-sleeved private in the Army does the exact, if he mishandles a classified piece of information, he is court-martialed.
Yeah.
Okay. She's not, there's done nothing done to her. And they just write it off like this, no problem. But this is President's Day. Let's think about this. Biden and Obama were both briefed by their intelligence community in the White House that Clinton was going to do this to Trump.
Wow.
That's all I got to say.
Wow.
I mean, if they won't cover that, but the last thing you asked about the press, here's the other thing about the press. It's like, you know, when you grow up, you always believe the best. I mean, your mom or your dad, for the most part, for most people, not everybody, but most, your mom and dad were the best mom and dad in the world, okay? And it's sort of like, you didn't know how you got here, but you didn't want to know that your mom and dad had something to do with you getting here. And then when you find out the reality, it just sort of fries you for a minute. The press is, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to make a funny but also truthful analogy.
Yeah.
The press can't stand to the fact that they are so wedded to this story and that they fell for it so hard, they can't believe or can't come to themselves and say, we were wrong.
So you're saying they're fooling themselves.
Oh, yeah. They know the best. I've talked to them offline.
You don't think that they're kind of treacherous about it? Do you think they actually believe it, then? It's like a gospel. It's like an innate part of them, then. Is that right?
Some of it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I say, for some of them, it is. Man, for some of them, it's a game. They're liberal, and they don't. And I've had some of the reporters actually talk offline that they don't like the Clintons. They don't like the liberals. They don't like some of the things going on. But they're liberal in their heart.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm just going to overlook it. And then you got some true believers. It's sickening to see some of the especially the reporters around the White House and in the Congress. They're a self-promoting group that, you know, they're just true believers.
Yeah, I think you probably, it's like religion. You've grown up with that religion. And I talk about being young and sort of, and you think that's the right, like I was brought up a Catholic. So I thought all the other Protestant religions had made a mistake. But I was willing to pal around with my Protestant friends. I had some Jewish friends, too. I didn't have a clue about what they were thinking anymore. But Protestants I could relate to a little bit, you know. And I always thought, well, it's too bad they made that mistake. So it was. It was like a religion. And I guess maybe it's the same here. I can't let you go, Doug, without asking you about the Ukraine-Russia situation. It's at the point now where everybody is saying it's all but inevitable. I want to get your take on it.
I don't think it's all but inevitable at this point. I think let's go back to really understanding one thing. What has Putin, who I believe is a brutal, you know, authoritarian, who is a narcissist who wants to rule the world, you know, at least from an old Russian perspective, and needs to have a cap on it. The problem is, in this case, what has he only said about Ukraine? He said, I don't want them in NATO, and for the most part, and sort of drew the line there. I think he can still pull this back, because, again, they're in a country different than us. He can control them a lot differently. We'll see. If he wants to go in, we're not going to stop him. We've already said we're not. But what disturbs me is Europe won't. That should sort of scare the world, that the Europeans, who have much more vested interest in it, have not, look at Germany, France, others, militaries. They're not even really on high alert.
So they're just giving lip service, NATO countries?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, look, here it is. I've always said, you look at two things in life to tell a person's priority. You look at their checkbook and their calendar. And you look at a country, you look at, if there's an imminent threat, what are they going to look at? They're going to look at, what are they doing spending? What are they doing with their military? None of them in Europe are doing anything beyond a passive, okay, we're looking at it. I think if you get into this, there can be an avoidance here. The problem is the precedent set. Let's just say, for instance, we say, okay, for 25 years, Ukraine can't come into NATO. Okay, which is what Ukraine wants, by the way. Zelensky wants it desperately. But you sort of put a buffer zone there. Say, look, we're not going to let them come in. The problem is now Putin is empowered to be a bully. And he can go, and he's going to say, Biden's not going to stop me. The world's not going to stop me. So next, let's just take a little bit more run at Latvia or Belarus or maybe to the South.
So you're
going to stop him next.
You're talking about it's a turning the other cheek philosophy. We were talking about it before you came on. We're turning the other cheek to a bully, and a bully takes full advantage of turning the other cheek, right?
Mm. He does. And here's the, I think that's the part that you're going to have to look at. Does it need to be addressed? Yes. Should we have done it a lot sooner? Yes. But this is a problem that goes back, again, I hate to say it, this is Obama 3, except it's worse. This was the group that turned a blind eye when Russia came through Turkey to get into Syria.
Right.
I mean, this has been happening for a while.
Yep, and Putin has been keeping his eyes open watching all of this. Doug, terrific discussion with you. Thank you so very much for coming on. I hope we can do it again.
Well, just call us up. We'll be ready to come.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Doug Collins. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, a homelessness czar. Can you believe it? That's what the Biden administration has created. Just how effective will a homelessness czar be? We're going to ask the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. So, the Biden administration has a new homelessness czar, Jeff Olivet, tapped to be the executive director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. Now tell me this. If they appoint you a homelessness czar, what is the one thing you want to keep occurring? homelessness. The guy is going to be there taking a salary. I mean, if he wipes out homelessness, he's out of a job, right? So homelessness has to be ongoing, has to be a horrible situation, has to be something that we have to turn our attention to.
Well, then that makes a lot of sense to me. Because if he's the homelessness czar, isn't Kamala Harris the border czar? And if she never goes, then the border crisis keeps going.
That's correct.
Well, they can that makes sense.
Yes, indeed, it does, doesn't it? He can expect a paycheck.
Yeah, she's always got a job.
Ad infinitatum.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to speak about that, we've got both. Neither one is homeless, by the way. Both of the brothers Ceresi with us, Andrew and Angelo. Let me start with Angelo. Angelo, first of all, welcome back. You're usually with us every Monday. How do you feel about the White House appointing a homelessness czar? He can start looking out for the homeless people around your area there in Rochester.
The Democrats just keep making makeup jabs for their political appointees, you know, and they're not going to do nothing for the homeless. We've had homeless here in Rochester, which is a Democratic stronghold, New York State Democratic stronghold. They haven't done anything for years.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not going to do it now, even with the homeless are.
But they'll talk about it a lot, and they'll have money shoveled in and doing, and they'll open up all kinds of more social programs up in Rochester. Come on now, it's going to employ more people. Yeah. Homelessness will employ more people in the federal government. Don't you understand how this works, Angelo?
Absolutely, you're 100% correct.
Yeah, Andrew, do we need the homelessness czar to tour St. Petersburg or perhaps Tampa?
Well, you better get one, because the way inflation is going, there could be a lot of homeless people, buddy.
I think you're right. There could be more people
all over the place
living out of their cars, and they, of course, their cars can't move because they can't afford to pay gas.
And they say if this thing goes on in the Ukraine, they're talking $6 to $7 a gallon.
Yeah. Well, it's already $6 to $7 out in California. It's getting close to $4 here in Tampa Bay.
Yesterday.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Angela.
I paid $4 yesterday. Almost, it's $3.80 a gallon. $3.79.
Okay, it's $3.80 a gallon. That's in the Rochester, New York area. I suspect down in New York City, it might even be a little bit more, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is it, about $3.50 here? I'm trying to remember what we've got. About $3.50 here. Is that right, Andrew? And
you got it.
Yeah.
It's averaging $3.50 a gallon and going up.
It is going up. So, homelessness, getting back to this whole crisis of homelessness, why doesn't he just take somebody that's going to tell him the truth and say, look, I don't need you to pay me anything, Mr. President. What we're doing is we're going to pull away all the social programs that we feed into the homelessness with and force these people, knowing they're not going to get a damn thing. We're going to, first of all, we'll come along and we will sweep them off the streets. And they'll have to go somewhere else, and they'll have to actually start becoming somewhat more responsible. Would that contribute better to homelessness than having this guy?
Yeah.
One word answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Next topic. So tell us, let us talk a little bit, and I want to get your thought here, Angelo, on the inevitability now of Putin crossing over the Ukrainian border and attacking. What do you think?
Well, this is the 1933 all over again, isn't it?
1939.
Mm-hmm. Neville Chamberlain doing the same thing to
Poland.
Hitler is what Europe is doing to Putin.
So
actually, the Europeans should be involved right now saying, hey, you do this, you're finished with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They should have put sanctions on him a long time ago if he was even thinking about this.
Let me ask you something, Angelo, real quickly. Do you think, since you brought up 1939 and World War II, do you think Putin is much like Adolf Hitler?
There's always an Adolf Hitler around every generation, you know. There's got to be. I mean, if you have a person like Hitler, you know, Putin's got to be the same way. These people, I mean, their personalities are really crazy, aren't they? I mean, was he made himself president for life over there In Russia?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Andrew, I know how you feel. We should not be involved in this. And a lot of people agree with you on that. We just had a guy on, Doug Collins, former Georgia Republican congressman, member of the Judiciary Committee.
I like that guy. Very good.
And we were talking a little bit about what we should do, if anything at all. And, of course, the topic is, well, why don't the European countries kind of take the bull by the horns? Because they're the ones that are directly next door to Russia. And I brought up the fact, well, that's great, and that makes sense. But we've signed on to the NATO Accord. We're part of that. So in some ways, we do feel like we're the biggest, you know, let's be honest, we're the biggest house on the block. We're the strongest guy in the group, right? So, Andrew, what do you think?
Well, we made ourselves be the strongest in the group because Europe never rebuilt their armies. I mean, France should have a big army. Germany should have their army. Italy should have their army.
We kind of discourage that. We kind of discourage that, though.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they need to pull themselves together and protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many thousands of miles away are we from Europe?
No, you're right.
I mean, these people need to, I'm quite sure between all the European countries, they can pull together an army bigger than 200,000, huh?
Do you remember that we wanted to keep Germany down? We kind of wanted to, we emasculated Germany, and rightly so. They had started two world wars. So we decided they were not going to have any ability to build a military again, much like Japan, remember? That was the deal after World War II. So we emasculated those countries. But Germany, if we had allowed them, would probably have the best military force in Europe. Go ahead.
They should. And you know what? They should be protecting themselves. We shouldn't have to get involved. We can't even take care of ourselves or protect ourselves anymore. Well, look at what's going on in this country today. I mean, there's a war on crime, isn't there?
Yes.
And supposedly, I believe crime is winning right now.
Big time. Angelo, do you think we should allow European countries to bulk up?
Yes, we should. They should be able to take care of their region over there with us as a backup, of course, to help out. I mean, because, you know, the inevitable, you know, the thing is, he's going to invade into the Ukraine. He's taking it over. And then the next country is going to be China, taking over Taiwan. It's the same scenario, you know. The things more change, the
more things change, the more they remain the same. Yeah.
The more they remain. The only thing that changes are the players.
Yeah, you're right. You may be right about it. History seems to repeat itself over.
Repeat itself, and you're always going to have people with the personalities like Hitler, right? And Tojo in Japan, where they want to be this aggressive. They want to take over territory. They want to expand their power all over the place.
So, Andrew, what do we do? If we do we sit back and watch? Do we sit back and watch both Russia and China take over other countries and just kind of watch it?
Well, Paul, and the scenario you're talking about, I believe all the countries should pull together a team and get rid of the two big men in their countries. Get rid of the men, and then the problem's over with, isn't it?
Get rid of the men. What do you mean? The leaders?
Get rid of Putin and get rid of Xi.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Boom and boom. Get rid of those two, and the problem solved.
Yeah, but see, those people are so held down that,
they're brainwashed.
I'm not talking about holding them down. I'm talking about sending the teams in and taking care of this stuff.
Oh, okay, so from outside. So now, what's the word? How legal is that? I mean, all of a sudden, if you don't like a leader, could they do the same to us?
Soleimani?
Could they do the same to us?
If we were lucky enough at this point, yeah. If we were lucky enough at this point, hell yeah.
The thing is, they're going in, killing people, right? Innocent people. I think it would be justified killing, to kill them.
That's right. Goodbye. See you later.
Because they're going
problem solved.
They're going to, they're going to kill innocent people, innocent men.
Do you guys think, let me ask you this, and I think you're making a good point, but do you guys think that somewhere inside of Russia and somewhere inside of China, there are factions that if they could do it, would assassinate their leaders, correct?
I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Correct.
Paul, they could.
So why have they not done it?
Well, they couldn't. They didn't have the control Trump did when he got Soleimani, did he?
What?
Boom, bada, bing. He was gone. See you later.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
So, get rid of them. They get rid of them, millions of lives are saved, and things might go back to normal.
So we need a hit job on both those guys. Is that about it?
SEAL team.
There you go, buddy.
I can't argue with you, but we have to be rather careful, especially because they have not directly attacked us.
No, but the thing is, after World War II, when they went into the concentration camps, what did they do? They hung those guys, didn't they?
They executed them. Yes,
they executed them.
Yes,
and they were jumped.
But that was after a World War.
The trial.
But that was
The world holds a court and says, "Hey, you do this, you're done."
Yeah, like the Hague.
And the world has to do this.
Yeah, remember the Hague?
Europeans have to do this.
We established the Hague, the court in the Netherlands. Right? Aren't they the ones that are supposed to? Where are they in the Russia-Ukraine thing? Where are they?
Nowhere.
I haven't heard them say a word.
Not a thing.
You know?
I think at this point you call in Angelo and Vinny, they'll take care of the problem.
You know, maybe that's it. We need the mafia to go into both countries.
It's like
they would be a hell of a lot more effective than what we're doing right now, apparently.
It's like I tell everybody. When I was a kid and the mob had the politicians in their pockets in New York, you know what? New York was a great place to live.
Yeah.
Mom and dad had a good job. Mom was able to stay home and work. They get rid of the mob and look what happened.
And they keep saying that Putin only responds to a bully. In other words, can be intimidated or respect a bully.
That's right.
So we take somebody, we get them over there, Putin's not very tall. He's about 5'7", maybe 5'6". We got some big mafioso slapping him around inside the Kremlin and saying, "Now listen, you do this and you do that and you stop doing this. Maybe that'll work."
You got to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yes.
They got to talk to the people over in Sicily over there. They could take care of their problem. Believe me.
Yes. Guys, we've just solved that problem. I thank you so very much. Actually, I thank you so very much, both of you, for coming on. This is a very tense situation. We keep our fingers crossed and we keep our hopes up. But thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
You got it, Paul. Be good.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Angelo. Angelo and Andrew, the brothers Ceresi. All right. Let us take our final break. When we come back, we're dusting off Wilbur the Duck, a college professor that sends white students to the back of the line when it comes to class participation in her sociology course.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much. Really, thank you for being with us. If you can't listen, by the way, to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to any of our shows, especially the recent ones. All you have to do is type in OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. There you are. And at the top, the podcast button, click on it, and you'll see our shows in chronological order. Top 10 and guests, the whole bit, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, a professor for a sociology course at Binghamton University, that's in New York, used her syllabus to tell students that priority will be given to non-white folks in picking students to call on for class discussions. So all the white students go to the back of the room, because we're not going to, don't go raising your hand in front of me here. You go to the back of the room. I'm going to be picking on the people that are non-white. And she also said she was going to pick on people that don't normally want to talk anyway in class. So she was going to take the non-active members of the class and specialize in giving them priority when it comes to class discussions.
So where's she working now?
Exactly. You know, she's still there. She's still there. But they've told her that that the syllabus for the course is going to be thrown out. By the way, the course is titled Social Change, Introduction to Sociology. Her name is Professor Anne Maria Candela. Here's what it said in the syllabus. If you are white male or someone privileged by the racial and gender structures of our society to have your voice easily voiced and heard, we will often ask you to hold off on your questions or comments to give others priority, and we will come back to you a bit later. There you go.
Let me just hand her the stupid award and get it over
with. Yeah, exactly. So they said they slapped that whole idea down. The spokesman for Binghamton University said that the faculty at the university attempt to engage, quote, all students in discussion. So there you go. All right. Before we get to our top 10, I found something very troubling, Ed, and I wondered if you knew anything about it. You know, we're in the midst of the college basketball season. And two of the teams in the Big Ten were playing each other, Wisconsin and Michigan. And the coach for Michigan, Juwan Howard is his name, after the game was over, you know, they normally the coaches will shake hands, you know, anything. Not him. He reached over and he whacked. He slapped in the face or the head.
There was
the coach of the Wisconsin team.
There was some discussion about the timeout or didn't agree with it. And because they had some words.
Timeout at the last moment, yeah.
And we had some words and we kind of separated. And he, like a coward, he reached over and tried to throw a punch and just kind of a slap or whatever. So speaking of, where are you working today now?
Yeah, and I was wondering
about should be
about
the
that.
Next one. I think you have to dismiss him. I mean, I don't know how you make... How you make an excuse for that?
I agree. Juwan Howard is a black man. He, by the way, he played for Michigan. He's now their coach.
And he played in the NBA for a while, too.
And he's played in the NBA. And the coach for Wisconsin is white. And an older guy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any racial animosity
I don't know if I'd go there.
I don't think so.
I was watching him mouth some words, and they were just basically four-letter words.
He lost his cool. The game, and he was upset at the end.
Yeah, he lost his cool, and you can't just apologize for something like that. Sorry.
So if you were in the NCAA committee, would you get rid of him, or would you say, all right, we're going to suspend you, or you can't go into the NCAA tournament? What would you...
Well, if this is his first and only altercation, I you'd probably have to suspend him. You know, I don't know if you could... I don't know if you fire him right off the bat. That might be a knee-jerk reaction. Where's his contract status? You know, what's his win status? How successful he is? That's all going to factor in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's a
or
crappy...
Or would you let the college itself hand out
the No, you let the college...
The NCAA.
Well, the NCAA is governed over the college, so... Yeah, I would have to say probably the NCAA. Just like the NFL would do to coaches in the NFL.
Okay.
You know, down to specific teams.
Fair enough. So. All right. All right. This is our top 10 is rather interesting. You know, Consumer Reports, everybody listens to them when they come out with their list. They have come out with the top 10 best car brands, not the different models now, the overall car brands. And their report combines the results of firsthand testing by Consumer Reports, and they connect it with survey responses from owners to come up with the top 10 best car brands for 2022. So here we go. Number 10, the Infiniti. Now, I always thought the Infiniti was part of another larger car corporation.
It's a higher-end vehicle.
Is it part of the Honda family or something?
No, I don't think so. I think Infiniti's different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 9.
Kind of like your BMWs and stuff like that. Infiniti's a higher-end.
It's a higher-end car. Yeah. Sure. Got it. Number 9. Toyota. Well, I'm not surprised.
It's a wide brush, though. You know?
We're saying the overall car companies. Yeah. Now. We're talking car company. Now, both the Infiniti and Toyota are Japanese, right?
I don't know Infiniti if that is Japanese.
I thought they're both Japanese.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. All right. Number 8. The Mini? I didn't know that there was a separate
brand. Yeah, that is a different...
Mini.
Yeah.
Is that a Japanese?
So, no, I don't know.
I don't know what it looks like.
I don't know.
English? Okay.
But it's the small car. It's not the smart car. It's the little teeny car.
That's why you call it a Mini. All right. Number 7. Porsche. Mm-hmm. Porsche is you think of Porsche all the time as well made, right?
Yeah.
And very fast. That's what I always think of.
Yeah.
Of course, I always think of, because I had a friend that had a Porsche Carrera. And that thing was something else, that's for sure. All right, number 6. Audi. The Audi.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought of
it was Audi.
Excuse me. You're right. It is Audi. I'm wrong. Audi. I wouldn't know what they look like anymore.
I haven't seen one in a while, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one in a while.
I haven't either. All right, number 5. Lexus.
Mm-hmm. That's, again, your higher end.
Higher end.
Infiniti, Lexus, BMW.
Japanese, right?
I would think so.
I think it's a Japanese product.
So.
Yeah. Number 4. I think we're just going down the list of the Japanese car companies. Honda. I mean, Honda's good old reliable Honda, right? They've been around since, I don't know, the early, the 70s in this country. Number 3. You mentioned them earlier, BMW. You know, that's a high-end car, is it not? German, right?
Yep.
Bavarian Motor Works.
Yeah.
I wonder if Hitler ever drove a BMW. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 2, Mazda. I don't even know what a Mazda looks like anymore, but they're Japanese.
Mazda were always fuel economy.
Yeah, and they had the rotary engine, right? I don't know if they still do that or not. All right. What do you think, Ed? I know this is, I wouldn't know, but you want to hazard a guess?
Obviously, it's not American made. I don't know. I don't know who would be in there.
Okay. Subaru.
Subaru.
Subaru is number 1. Now, I've always thought Subaru, they always stressed that their cars were the safest cars. Is that right? You know, like if you were going to get a car and you had young children.
I think that and Volvo was always.
And Volvo, yeah.
Always based on safety.
Subaru is from what country? Sweden?
I believe. Okay. Not sure.
We don't know, do we?
No.
All right. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday. Keep your fingers crossed about that Ukrainian situation. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kaith.